Welcome into episode 129 of the Sources Say podcast, your go-to Kentucky basketball and recruiting podcast on the Growing KSR Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jack Pilgrim of Kentucky Sports Radio. Very happy to be joined once again by the one, the only, Sean Smith of Go Big Blue Country. Sean, how the heck are you?
I'm fantastic, Jack. How are you?
I am feeling so much better this morning now that we know that Reed Shepherd, class of 2023 standout and in-state superstar, is officially a Kentucky Wildcat. Reed announces his commitment this morning to the University of Kentucky in a ceremony at his school at North Laurel High School. Sean, just early impressions. I mean, this is a kid that we followed for so long, kind of from the very beginning. This is a kid from your neck of the woods, somebody that you've kind of been waiting for this moment since he emerged as a surefire star at both in-state and at the national level. Just kind of your early impressions of what it's like now that he's officially a Kentucky Wildcat, and kind of some of your just kind of early impressions of it.
Completely wild, honestly, to start with, just because when all this happened and Reed started to emerge, I think it was probably his eighth grade year is when I really started to think, okay, now Reed Shepherd's definitely going to play, you know, high major basketball, but I didn't know how high. I didn't know if it was going to be like a power five. But then his freshman year, I know his coach that he had at North Laurel before Coach Sizemore switched to Bell County, and he always told me and some others that, you know, Reed's the real deal. Like, everybody that's coached Reed from the elementary level to the middle school level, now the high school level, the message is always the same. No one outworks Reed Shepherd. Like, Reed is earning everything that he's got. But I think it was about a year ago when I started really writing about him, when he first threw down one of those big-time dunks on the AAU circuit. It was the summer of 2020 when basketball started to pick back up, when the EYBL and everything was canceled. I think it hit me then that maybe today was possible, but he was definitely going to play power five. But then when Kentucky offered this summer, Jack, and he was their fourth offer in that 23 class, and they prioritized him, and they showed that he wasn't just going to get a Kentucky offer because of who his family was. That's when I really was like, man, this kid's actually going to do it. He's going to play at Kentucky, and that if he wants to. And just huge news for this class to get started with a kid of this caliber. I mean, we're not just talking an in-state kid. We're talking an in-state kid that's five-star status. That is a big deal.
Yeah, and I kind of want to go back to your point about when he received this offer and kind of the build-up behind it, because I remember going to that Shelby County shootout, whatever the event's name was specifically called. We were watching, and that was the first live period, the first evaluation period since COVID, so it was a really big deal for coaches to finally be there in attendance and see, kind of these kids out and about in person. You got the Louisville coaching staff there. Tony Bennett came from Virginia. You had Juwan Howard and the Michigan coaching staff there. Other SEC assistants were there. I mean, it was loaded with coaching talent of all major, high major levels. And it was noticeably absent that Kentucky, or it was noticeable that Kentucky was not in attendance. And we talked about this on the show that UK had some very special visitors that weekend and some guys that ended up ultimately committing to Kentucky. So it ended up being worthwhile. But we just kind of had the thought, like, man, how do you not send one assistant to just kind of check a box with Kentucky? And it was that moment. We saw him, and we saw him with our own two eyes, and we thought, man, this kid's the real deal. This kid is Kentucky quality, but it's not really fair that Kentucky's not going to be able to see with their own two eyes. And we were kind of waiting for that moment. Okay, are they going to give this kid a shot? Are they going to at least go, you know, play the process out and see him with their own two eyes and decide, is this kid Kentucky quality or not? That's all we cared about. We just wanted them to see if they thought that he was worthy of a Kentucky offer. That's all we cared about. Whether if they had gone to watch him and they said, yeah, he's a good kid, but, you know, I don't think he's up to this level, that would have been fine. But we just wanted Kentucky to give him a fair shot. And Sean, they gave him that at that Adidas event down in Birmingham. They go see him, and not only was it just, you know, one assistant or two assistants or even just John Calipari, they go four deep, all three of the major assistants plus John Calipari there front and center, and they watch Reed Sheppard absolutely light up the competition and the highest competition at the Adidas circuit. He goes out and just absolutely just tears up the place, and Kentucky offers, I mean, a day later. It was such a quick, like, John Calipari went, he wanted to check a box, and he went away. He came away going, yep, this kid's Kentucky quality. And Sean, I think that's exactly what we saw out of him when we saw him with our own two eyes this, or to kind of open up this evaluation period. And thank goodness Coach Cal got to see him, because now we are here and we get to kind of reap the benefits of a player of Reed's caliber ending up at Kentucky.
Yeah, and you're talking about that offer they received. I talked to Jeff the day after they got – well, they were actually on their way back from that trip, and he was talking, and he said it blew our mind, because they thought that Cal was just going to call and say, hey, look, you know, we really like him. We're going to be following him. We want to see how he develops. But, no, they called and were like, look, we want to offer you a scholarship. And I think that kind of surprised them that it happened so soon. But I think that's what really helped Kentucky in this, was they didn't allow those relationships to build with other programs. Like, we know that Reed was getting the offers from Tubby Smith and High Point a year ago. And I know Iowa was the first major school to offer him. And he had those relationships with those coaches. Richie Riley and stuff at South Alabama, but it was different because you started to see Louisville get in the mix. You started to see Texas A&M, Virginia, other schools. It was very, very important that Kentucky kind of got their foot in the door as well, because let's face it, Kentucky was the favorite the moment that they decided to pursue him, and that was big. Not let him develop those relationships with those other coaches without having one with John Calipari, Orlando Antigua, and the staff, and then he took that unofficial to Kentucky earlier this fall, and I just think that it was a big deal for him today to get this thing out of the way and get it done, and just know in your heart where you wanted to go. You want to be there where mom and dad was. And it's just a big deal for the state of Kentucky today, and for the Sheppard family. And look, this is the kid, Jack. We both know it. We've watched him. He didn't get this offer because of his mom and dad. He got this offer because he's that good, and definitely good enough to play at Kentucky.
Let's talk a little bit about that, because when we saw him with our own two eyes for that first event this summer, kind of closing the book on his junior season, which was, I mean, record-breaking. He put up averaging an absurd number of points, and had every time you'd open up social media, you'd see Reed Sheppard scores 38 points against fill in the blank, or Reed Sheppard drops 50. Like, he had just this unbelievable junior season, but we got to see the kind of build up to this bright, beautiful summer that he display of basketball that he put on this summer, kind of early spring. What is it about Reed that you like with his game? I know that me personally, I like his shooting touch. I like his kind of ability to play the one or the two. He's kind of that combo guard threat right now. He's comfortable playing off ball, but he's also very, very comfortable playing on ball. I think his court vision's fantastic. I think he's really patient, kind of just very fundamentally sound basketball player. Those are kind of some of the things that I like about him. But Sean, kind of put on your coaching and scouting hat, and what is Kentucky getting in the newest Wildcat?
His IQ is off the chart, and his ability to score at all three levels. His mid-range game might be his strongest part of his game too. Like, we saw that mid-range game on display that week that we were there watching him play, and it's incredible. Every time he pulls up from 16, 15, 14 feet, you think it's going in. He can shoot the three. He's explosive. He can dunk on you. He can finish at the rim. But his overall just IQ and the feel for his game, just how, and then throwing in that explosiveness, it's crazy to think how much he's like. It's a complete mirror of his dad. When his dad goes up the dunk in those pictures from the 90s, and Reed goes up the dunk now, you've seen the picture side by side. They cross their ankles together. It's like, it's crazy to think how similar that they are, but I would go with his IQ for sure. And, you know, we're talking about that day that he got that offer, and then the event that we were at, that summer shootout in Shelbyville there. And I remember coming on this podcast, and we were like, let's not hammer Kentucky for not being there yet. Let's wait and see if they evaluate him in late June, early July. and they did. Well, now that I look back on it, Jack, I think it was big. I think it was a really good move that they weren't there. And the reason was, is we know that Cal wasn't leaving campus because that was a huge weekend for the 22 class with visitors in Lexington. Would it have meant anything if Jay Lucas had gone up the road when Tony Bennett's sitting there and Juwan Howard's sitting there and head coaches? Would it have meant as much if an assistant was there with those other head coaches, or would it maybe have rubbed them the wrong way had an assistant showed up? I think waiting was perfect because then Cal was like, all right, it's me, it's Chin, it's Orlando, it's Jay, it's all of us. And I think that was just a huge statement.
And I do want to kind of point out that Reed was doing these things and putting up the numbers that he did at that Adidas Gauntlet event, playing up a grade, because he's I go back to Peach Jam and people kind of talked about DJ Wagner, how he played up and he was really struggling to kind of find his groove a little bit. Reed Sheppard was playing with the big boys and proving like this wasn't low competition where, you know, he was going and really struggling. I mean, this was a kid that put on a show, was one of the brightest performers of the entire summer, regardless of circuit, you know, shoe brand, whatever. This was a kid that put on a show, up a grade, and in front of, you know, every major coach that you can think of, including when Kentucky goes four deep to go see him, he, you know, with all that pressure, think of the pressure that was on his shoulders when he looks side by side and goes, oh, wow, there's Coach Cal. Oh, my goodness, there's Coach O, and there's Jay Lucas, and there's Chin Coleman. Even with that pressure that was put on his shoulders, he still goes out there and puts on a show and does the things that we talked about, scoring at all three levels, and he's an efficient scorer, and he doesn't turn the ball over a ton, and just all those things, that the high IQ things that you love about a player, he showed all those things on the biggest stage. No, it wasn't Peach Jam, and Peach Jam is the biggest of all stages. But that Adidas Gauntlet is no joke. That's where Chris Livingston was playing on. That's where a bunch of the other high major elite guards that are standouts that Kentucky's going after and that they went after in the class of 2022, 2023, and then they're going to go after in 2024. That's a very competitive event and circuit. And Reed Sheppard proved the part there. And I think that's why it was such a cut and dry decision for Coach Cal, where he saw that with his own two eyes. He said, look, there's nothing else I need to see. And I love that he cut out all the suspense with this. There was no, like what you kind of talked about, this wasn't a battle of Tony Bennett being the first high major coach on him from a very, you know, kind of respectable traditional program like Virginia being the first on him, and then Coach Cal offering him next spring or you know, going into his senior year or whatever the case is. This was Coach Cal saying, I want to cut out the competition. I want to make this an uneven playing field. I want to make sure that the homegrown talent stays at Kentucky. And I think that is such a respectable thing that he did, and for a ravenous fan base, that's all they wanted. The one thing they asked was, Just keep Reed Sheppard in state. Keep him here. Let's add another Sheppard jersey to the rafters. Into the program. Let's just keep this momentum going, because this is a can't miss prospect. And when he emerges, that guy, I think it's just something that this fan base is embracing, because Coach Cal gave him that shot. They offered immediately, and this was now Kentucky has their first commit for the class of 2023. This was such a quick and easy cut and dry. Like you said on last episode, you expected a chaotic kind of hectic recruitment, and that's not what this was. And you got to give Coach Cal props for that.
Yeah, it didn't turn into a circus. And I think that's the honestly, it's the best thing about it, is he's committed. He's going to get to play in front of Kentucky fans in this state for the next 2 years. There are going to be people that are going to travel to North Laurel. They're going to travel to Lexington, all these places that Reed's going to play. And it's kind of just going to be a little tour around the state for him for the next 2 years. These fans are going to get to know this kid. They're going to fall in love with this kid. They're going to fall in love with following him throughout his career. And he gets to carry this torch now for 6 years as an in-state kid. And then beyond that, we've seen the impact that, you know, Jeff Sheppard has in the London area. Jeff and Stacy settled in London, Kentucky. They've been business owners there, active in the community. They've raised their kids there in the state. It's a big deal. Like, the Sheppard family in Kentucky basketball is huge. And that's where I was coming from yesterday when we were talking about NIL and how big this is. Like, it's not every day that a Final Four son, a Final Four player's son is this good. Like, you don't get this. Like, you get the family ties and all this stuff and the players that play college basketball at the same place their father or their mother did, but not the equivalent of this. Like, this is a five-star kid that was rising up to five-star status before he ever committed to Kentucky. He didn't get the Kentucky bump. He got the bump because he's that good.
Yeah, I think it was kind of fascinating how quickly the national analysts fell in love with this kid this summer. It was kind of something interesting because you would see, like, you saw the Birmingham event and the Adidas Gauntlet event, and you saw, it was like every single national analyst that saw him play, it was like, oh, this kid, because we kind of hyped him up after that Shelbyville shootout event or whatever it was, and like there were some recruiting analysts there, but I think there's still something to be said that he was just doing that, you know, just being, you know, in quotes, he was just doing that against in-state talent, and how good can he really be? Because he was already doing all those things last season as a junior, putting up 30, 40, 50 points. But like, we saw Dante Allen do those same things, when he was in high school. So I think there was almost this lack of respect, or I guess just kind of not buying into the hype just yet. Those guys wanted to see it with their own two eyes. But Sean, how quickly they came around to loving this kid as well. I thought it was so fascinating how every major national analyst, it was like every single game there was another person that goes, oh, this Reed Sheppard kid might be the truth. And it kind of, that you could see that reflected in the rankings jumps, because he went from, you know, top 100, top 75 to after one event, then he'd bump up to like, you know, top 50, top 45 ish. And then the next event you'd see it, he's like, okay, now he's top 35, top 40. And then now you look and he's, I mean, ranked as high as number 17, I believe, by 247 Sports. I mean, Sean, an in-state kid, Jeff Shepard's son, Final Four most outstanding player, his son is a five-star top 20 player in high school basketball. Like, I mean, what, like, it's like all of our worlds are colliding, and the way it did, it's like those storybook moments that you talk about. Like, this kid was made to play at Kentucky, and the stars aligned for him to A, be good enough, B, for UK to, you know, return interest, and C, him actually want to end up at Kentucky as well. It's just like everything aligned for this awesome freaking moment for this fan base.
The Pat Forty story is what really made it take off. When he traveled to London and North Laurel and spent those days there and attended a game and everything, and then when he published the story and had the picture of John Calipari sitting on the bench from last year, like, Kentucky was instantly connected to Reed Sheppard. The moment that story went national, that's when all eyes were like, okay, this is going to be a thing. Like, how big is this going to get? How long will Cal wait? And credit to Cal, he could have waited. He could have decided to get involved, let's say, sometime this season or into the spring. Would he have gotten Reed then? I don't think so. Like, I think that Tony Bennett and these other schools were building that relationship. It was a big deal when John Calipari, and I think that Bennett and all the other coaches, if I remember talking to Travis Branham, and he was talking about that he thought Virginia was in like a really good spot, and it might have been Virginia over Kentucky. But I think Kentucky getting involved when they did, I just think that all these other coaches, the A&Ms, the Louisvilles, everybody was like, all right, this kid's going to UK. And I'm willing to bet, and I've not talked to Jeff yet, but every time I've talked to him, like, it's like you hear parents all the time. They like their moments as players or their moments in life were great, but when they get to see their kid do it, it means even more. And every time that I've spoken to Jeff, he's always talked like, I enjoy everything that's happening to Reed more than I enjoyed anything that's happening to me. I'm willing to bet that besides the day that his children were born, today might have been the greatest moment of Jeff Shepard's life.
Yeah, I could absolutely see it. Sean, let's get out of here with this, because I know that this is kind of we talked about kind of the national impact and what his game is and you know, kind of what it means for the program, those sorts of things. But you're from an area where this decision, I think, means more than most. Even the high end, you know, top five, top 10 prospects when they commit to Kentucky, it's a big deal. But I think this one in particular, the community that you live in and just kind of that area, and you know, I guess just kind of speak for the entire state and the people that support this program, but you know, not only this program, but Jeff Shepherd and Stacy and I guess this whole family. What does this commitment mean for those people, and why is this such a special moment for that community?
It gives them something to connect with, like the people here. Like Kentucky basketball connects people in the state. Like you talk to people all the time, and the people in Eastern Kentucky, where I'm from, there's so many differences when you go to Western Kentucky. They're different people. They're different lifestyles. You go to Northern Kentucky, and it's different. The one thing that intertwines all of it's Kentucky basketball. And it's just special that there's going to be a kid from the 606, from the 13th region, playing Kentucky men's basketball. Macy Morris, Blair Green, all these others, Cassidy Rowe, that's going to be there at Kentucky next year. They're all from the mountains, and those players are special in their own right. And you see the following, like Macy Morris, like had a huge following at UK. Every time she would do something good, all of Eastern Kentucky was proud. They've not had that opportunity on the men's side in basketball. And I just think that that's what makes this so big. I told you the story yesterday that when I was a kid, I had a number 15 Kentucky jersey. And I'm talking first, second grade, when Jeff Shepherd and those Kentucky teams were making runs to the Final Four. And I told you that I would go out in the driveway, rain, snow, shine, it didn't matter. And I would remember almost every basket because my dad would tape the game on the VHS. And we would go back and watch it. And my dad still has all those tapes. Like, I'm talking 15 to 20 years worth of Kentucky basketball and VHS tapes. And I would go out in the driveway and just reenact every moment from a Kentucky win. Like, and I would do the whole TV call, or I would just in my mind, and I'm like, oh, you know, Jeff Shepherd spins or he gets a steal in the national championship game. And I'd lower the hoop just enough so I could dunk it. That's what this area of the state, like, it just, and it's like, I think it's that way around the entire state. But to me personally, I'm sitting here thinking like, man, I grew up wanting to play basketball at Kentucky. I wasn't good enough to do it, but I still get to step on that floor and cover the program that I grew up loving. Reed Shepherd grew up following it. He lived Kentucky basketball. He knows Kentucky basketball, and he gets to do that. And that is special. And it just, to me, it means even more that he's from this part of the state. And that's just, it's going to be so much fun to follow.
Yeah, that's the biggest takeaway, is just that this is a moment that you can be selfish and you know, root a little bit harder for, because not only is this kid just, you know, an awesome kid and a great family and, I mean, a hell of a player on the court, but this is something that it means a little bit more than most just average commitments. And I think that's something that if Kentucky fans get a little bit more excited about this one, I totally understand, because it's worth it. This is like I said, a special kid, a special family, a special basketball player. We fell in love with him the first time we ever got to see him play, and he's only proven to better himself every time we've seen him since then. So, fans, this is a big one, and I'm glad that we kind of get to share this moment together, and it's definitely one that we're going to be following closely. Sean, you live down in that area. You're going to be going to all these games, and I'll be making the trek down there to go watch him play as well. This is definitely an exciting day for that portion of the fan base, the entire portion of the fan base in the entire state of Kentucky. I think that this is definitely one that we'll remember for quite some time, and we're looking forward to following along the rest of his season, and it's definitely going to be a good one. So Sean, let's wrap up and get out of here with that. Where can fans find your work?
You can find my work at GoBigBlueCountry.com, and you can follow me on Twitter at GBBCountry.
You can find me on Twitter as well, at JackPilgrimKSR. Reach out to me via email at JPilgrim@KentuckySportsRadio.com. With that, we'll be back next time for another Jam-Packed Sources Say podcast. We will see you then.